So I am wondering if we have any baseball fans here this morning. We have a couple. I need a couple nods out there. We do? Okay, I'm going to need your help for this message. I'm going to describe a baseball player to you, and I'm going to see if you can tell me who he is. So this guy started playing in 1969 when he was just 20 years old. He played for the Chicago Cubs, the LA Dodgers, and the Boston Red Sox, among a couple other teams. He's one of just 21 players who played in four different decades as he retired in 1993. He won a batting title. He hit over 307 times. He finished his career with 2,715 hits and a .289 batting average. One could argue that these numbers could put someone in the Hall of Fame. I'm curious if, after that series of stats, if you have any guesses as to who that might be. No strong? Not, well, maybe your dad, I'm not sure. How about... you beat me. You're not supposed to know it yet. So let's pretend he didn't get it right the first time. And for perhaps the more casual baseball fans in the audience who didn't know yet, pretend I didn't say any of those stats, forget all of those numbers, and I'll take a different route. What if I just told you that this player let a ground ball go through his legs at first base during the 1986 World Series, and his error cost the Boston Red Sox a chance at the World Series? Would then people have a better idea that it's Bill Buckner? All right, so now we're all in agreement that this player is indeed Bill Buckner. But when we think about that one play, that play seemingly defined his career and defined how he's remembered, it seemed to be a fitting continuation of the curse the Red Sox were under because they traded Babe Ruth to the Yankees. And his play ensured that their championship drought would go on. He's so famous for that play that he was used as a teaching point when I was in Little League. I let a ball go between my legs, and my coach said I Bucknered it. Because of one mistake, his own name is synonymous with failure, or with slipping up. That one moment is so big that hardly anybody, remembers the career that he had, all the incredible numbers that he was able to assemble. He had a long, successful career with some of the league's biggest teams. He even retired with the fourth most assists as a first baseman, even though he didn't pick up the position until later in his playing years. But often, none of those stats come to mind. If you say Bill Buckner, you're going to picture a ball going through his legs, followed by the Mets celebrating. Now, isn't that amazing, that you can do so many things well, you can have so much success, and that rare mistake is what people remember you for? And the good things you do might become so routine, they go unnoticed or unappreciated, and then it's impossible to live just one slip-up down. We had a teammate in my high school cross-country and track teams who was one of our best runners. One year, we thought we had a team good enough to win state. At the state meet, though, he had an off day and eventually dropped out of the race. Obviously, we were crushed. A couple years later, he was part of our 4x800 team in track, and he anchored us to a state championship. Now, you would think that he redeemed himself and was no longer thought of for that one bad race. But almost a decade later, if he crosses my mind, I don't think of the state title we won, I think of the state title we could have won, but didn't. I don't think of his heroics during that track meet or the good races he had during the season, I think of the one race that didn't go so well. I would say that's pretty unfair, but it's how my brain works. There's just so many good things about him, but the most memorable one is the time he slipped up. And it doesn't feel good to be thought of for the negative things about ourselves. It hurts our confidence. It makes us feel unworthy when people don't talk about the good, but they love to focus and hang on to the bad. Now, if the late Bill Buckner felt that pain, I imagine the gentleman in our reading did as well. As Jesus arrives opposite of Galilee, he's met by this man who is said to be tormented by demons. Now, for the people at this time, that could mean any number of things. They could observe something about him and assess that a demon is possessing him. He could have a physical condition that alters his appearance. He could be sick. He could be mentally ill. Whatever his condition is, it's essentially ruined his life. He's been kicked out of his society. He has no clothes to wear, and he lives in the tombs. But it doesn't stop there. His imperfection has become the thing that literally defines who he is. When Jesus asks for his name, he says, "It's Legion, because demons have entered me." Even his own name has been replaced, and his very identity is wrapped around his limitation. Like Bill Buckner is synonymous with a baseball error, this man is connected to being weighed down by demons. Think of how lonely and without hope this man must be. To no longer have a name, but to just be known for the one thing that possesses you. And if everyone else knows you for something bad, that would become the only way you think about yourself. If they can't see the good things you've done, it begins to fade from your own mind, and you accept the labels and limitations that others have placed on you. You become the lost cause and the failure that people assume you are. Well, that might be the only thing that the other people see, but it's not the only thing Jesus sees. Jesus sees his flaws, but he sees more. He sees a man who can be made whole again. He sees a man who can have his life back again. He frees this man of his possession, and it gives him the energy and spirit to proclaim loudly all the things God has done for him. No longer being defined by the thing that was wrong with him, he experiences joy and starts spreading good news. Whether it's something small or something a bit larger, I think our flaws have too much of an impact on us. I think our mistakes are too capable of haunting us or dragging us down. Of course, there's value in knowing that we aren't perfect, and there's value in learning from a mistake. But there's a fine line between knowing our failures and hoping to improve, and letting our failures eat at us or define us. It's like being at a job interview or filling out an application. You often have that chance to name things you like about yourself and things that you wish you did better. Now, I don't know about you, but it takes me a lot less time to think of those things I want to improve than it does to think of the things I like about myself. My flaws and my shortcomings are always ready, and I can fire them off whenever I need to. I think the same would be true for the man in our lesson. If he was asked to describe himself, you can guarantee the only thing he would talk about would be his limitation or his possession. It literally defines him by being his own name. Now, if we model Jesus, we should see more in ourselves than our flaws. We should see potential. We should see a route to hope, no matter how dark things seem to be. And to help those around us see the same things, it's our job to celebrate the good we see in them so that they can see it too. It's our job to correct any assumptions or stereotypes placed on people so that they can readily focus on the good things they have going. Bill Buckner, more than most, could have allowed that one error to define his life. He could have let it haunt him. He could have let it spiral his career to the end. And while that play is still talked about, Buckner had a different approach than you would expect following his mistake. He said, "There could be somebody in my shoes who would say life sucks. I choose to look at it that life is great. You can make those choices. Everyone has things in life that don't go their way." And when he was asked about how much focus was put on his error, not on the pitcher who put runners on base, not on the fact that there was a game seven following this one game that they could have won. When he was asked what it's like to focus on those negative things, he said, "I don't think we should operate that way in society. What are we teaching our kids? Not to try, because if you don't succeed, then you're going to get buried." So if Buckner refuses to let that negativity define him, and if Jesus saw something more in a man who was just known for the demons within him, why are we so obsessed with those things about ourselves that are less than perfect? Let's make the choice to let the good outweigh the bad, and to know that no flaw is too big to come back from. And while we rely on our faith in Jesus, let's remind ourselves and others that our limitations should not hold us back, and they absolutely should not keep us from trying to move forward.